Well, this morning I thought we'd, Lord willing, we'd look a little bit at Judas Iscariot. We talked a little bit last week about Thomas. I thought we'd look at Judas and more or less, I guess, just greed. And not greed necessarily for money all the time, but for, things that might take us away from the Word of God. And kind of look at those things in our life and kind of how Judas dealt with them. Of course, we all know what happened to Judas and who Judas was. But it's kind of neat to look at it, I think, from a perspective, too, of, you know, Jesus still loved Judas. He did. And just like he did the other 11 apostles, he loved him, too. And, you know, of course, Jesus knew how it was going to end up, but you think about this, he knew the beginning from the beginning all the way to the end. But still, you know, if Judas had had a change of heart, just like the thieves on the cross, he could have been saved too. But you know, of course, he went too far, and we'll read that about that today and what happened to him. But greed's really what got him started, you know. When you think about that. Greed or anything, worldly possessions, I guess you could think, or wanting to get power. That's something we all face, you know, whether it be one or the other or all of them. And, you know, you must be on guard against it as Christians, you know, not to let that enter into your life. You know, you're still human. And so we'll see what Scripture says. What I was looking for this morning, as I said that, we have to be on guard against it, because I always like to go back sometimes, if I can, look at what old Solomon says here about greed. And I've mentioned this before more than once, but and don't turn there, because like I said, I've got a few places to read before we get over into John. But Ecclesiastes chapter 2, I better put my little specs on now since I've got them. I can read a lot better. And We look here and kind of get Solomon's take. Said, "Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun." In other words, which he had toiled and gained. "Because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me." So Solomon's saying, you know, I've gained, got all this. Now I'm going to have to leave it to the guy that comes after me. "And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool?" He asked that question. "Yet shall he have rule over all my labor, wherein I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity." In other words, no need worrying about it. It's also vanity. They just wasted all. "He said, therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair all the labor which I took under the sun." In other words, he got upset about it. Said, "Oh, I've attained all this, and now, you know, there's going to be somebody come along that's a fool, and they're going to waste it all." But in verse 21 says, "For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity, yet to a man that hath not labored therein shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity and a great evil." But as you go on, he said, "For what hath a man of all his labor and of the vexation of his heart, wherein he hath labored under the sun?" And he goes on and talks about you should have joy in your labor. You're laboring for the Lord. And you have to read all that out to see that. But I think about that as you read that, a lot of people, and myself included, I guess would kind of read that and think, well, what's the use of doing anything? Because something happens to me and I'm going to leave it. The next person's a fool and they waste it. But as you look around here in the church, the generations that came before us, not only here at Bible Way, but as the church has grown, and you think about across this country, and of course, kept the Word of God safe throughout Europe. And of course, I remember the guy that he came that time and showed us all the Bibles he'd had over the centuries and over the years, and he'd had them over in the other building, and he told us some, stories of Christians that had given their lives. You know, we wouldn't found them in the Scripture, but just been passed along through the years. They gave their life to save half the Scripture of the New Testament or whatever, the Old Testament, and how they were persecuted. And as you read on through that, at the beginning it looks like, oh, you're a fool, you're going to waste that. But as you read through that, it's if you're doing it for the right reasons or for the glory of God, then it's not vanity. So anyway, I wanted to read that because that gets us back to greed, because sometimes you can't take it with you, so to speak. And people spend a lot of their lives trying to get political power and trying to steal and I guess get money under the table or payoffs or whatever. I didn't realize this was just maybe a month ago. I guess you guys may have seen it. My brother reminded me. Of course, he lives in West Tennessee. But Middle Tennessee, I didn't realize that the mayor of Nashville there had to resign for embezzlement. And he said that she had $10,000 or $11,000 or something she'd embezzled, and I guess the federal government got involved and knew she'd done it. But anyway, I don't get into that. But what I'm saying is it can affect anybody, and it can ruin your life. And so let's look here and see what all happened in Judas's life. So we get started here this morning. Let's see here. You all have heard of for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through many sorrows. This goes back to more what we're going to talk about with Judas this morning. Erring from the faith and having more sorrows or more problems than they ever thought they could have. And again, that's just for the love of money. And that's not necessarily means you're going to have a lot of money. That just means have, I guess, wanting it or the desire for it. But godliness with contentment is great gain. And be content with what you have and what God's blessed you with. I tell you, sometimes that's hard for us to do. And we live in an age, you think about it, we live in a good time. I'm getting to the lesson here in a second. But we live in a good time as far as two different ways, I guess. We have a lot of technology, which can be used to spread the gospel. There's a lot of medical technology, a lot of knowledge as far as, doctors and things have. More so than they've had in years. There's a lot of knowledge or sharing. I know I was doing some other work around the house yesterday or trying to, and, you know, the Internet's an amazing thing. You know, you want to, you know, punch in, how do I do this or that? You know, like, how do I reset the maintenance light in the car or whatever? You know, it pulls right up and gives you three steps and you're done. You know, there's a lot of that. And the gospel can get out much more easily than what it could in times past. We as Christians can look and probably see more prophetic truth than any time before. We can see what the world's becoming. I guess, who was that I was talking to? This guy at work, we were talking about how things are going in this country, then also going around the world. And he's got young kids. He's younger than I am, 11, 12 years. And his kids are about, you know, just the 4, 5, 6-year-old range or whatever. And he's making comments. He said, you know, I never thought 7 or 8 years ago it'd be as bad as it's gotten now. And he said, just think what it's going to be in 7 or 8 more years. And so there's a lot of, I guess, reason to be that we live in a blessed time. We can see that and know the Lord's return is even closer. But sometimes we can still get tied up, I guess, in things of life. And I spend a lot of time with that. I know you said, why don't you just get right to it and talk about Judas. Judas is one of those, Judas Iscariot, that I always liked hearing about. And especially in Sunday school or vacation Bible school or even preachers mentioned, because we don't know a whole lot about him. We know he came from an area of southern Judea. We know his father was Simon. That's about it. I know a few more little details, but not a whole lot about him. But Jesus knows what is in a man, so he knew all about him. He knew when he called him what he'd be. So if you're John 2, chapter 2, verse 25, if you're already there, we'll look. Jesus knows what's in a man. So even though the other disciples or apostles didn't know everything that was known to know about Judas, Christ did. And as we see here, as you look over in, I think it's verse 25, chapter 2. Let's see if I can get back here. It says, verse number 22, and therefore he was risen from the dead. His disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name and they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. So I read that to you as we look at Judas. Don't be fooled any time to think that, oh, that surprised Jesus. It didn't. He knew who Judas Iscariot was. He knows who we are. He can look at our heart and know who we are. He knows our minds, knows our thoughts. I know I've said that a lot the last few Sundays, but it seems like that's just been pressed on me to keep reminding myself of that, but also keep reminding each other of that as well. And so as we look, you have to remember Jesus knows all our thoughts. So where we'll get over to, I think, is John 6. If you just flip over a few verses. I tried last Sunday and this Sunday to stay in the same book if I could. So if you go over John 6, and we'll go on out there at about verse number, 64. Kind of goes along, kind of keeps the same thought going. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. And in verse number 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Let's stop right there just for a second. Because since we've kind of, like I said, heard about Judas Iscariot in Sunday school, vacation Bible school, wherever it may be, preaching, there was a message, and sometimes I forget the preachers. It wasn't Pastor Rick. It's been some time back. And talking about, use this verse, and what they were talking about was that the people that went away here, and then in other words, what Christ had told them before that, in the verses before, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. You know, there's some there that didn't understand that. And you go down and you read that, that's verses 53, 54, 55, 56. And they went away. And they chose not to follow Jesus or accept him as their Savior. They were lost, but they were doing what came natural to them. You see what I'm saying? In other words, that was that they went away lost. They weren't saved, but Christ knew they were lost and knew they were going to turn away. And they did what the natural man would do. So, because you know they weren't saved. Judas, on the other hand, he wasn't saved either. He was lost here, as you read this. And he didn't go away. So he wasn't being what a natural man would do. And that's what that message years ago was about. We heard it here. I remember a preacher, I'm trying to remember who it was, talking about, you know, it might have been Mitchell, I can't remember, talking about a natural man, you'd expect to find him down at the nightclubs and the bars and that place. A man is not saved. He's doing what comes naturally, what a man or a woman would do. But once you've been saved and got the indwelling of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, you know you don't want to go to those places again. You want to come to church. You want to be around fellowship with Christians, etc. These people, as they moved and went away, and Christ said here, it says, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it was given unto him of my Father. And Judas had already betrayed him, but yet stayed. In other words, Judas didn't do what was natural of man to do. And as we read further, we'll see why. As the devil entered into Judas, he hung around. In other words, I guess like a stage with actors, so to speak, Judas kept playing his part, where the other actors on a stage or in a play, they may have left. But Judas, you know, and Christ knew that. He knew who he was dealing with. He didn't betray him. Didn't change that. I'm getting way too deep into Judas. You can tell I was going to talk about greed and just our lives as Christians being turned into the things of this world, and we need to focus more on the Word of God, especially in these times. And as I was studying, I got to reading more about Judas, and that is stuck, and I'm giving you more than what I intended to about Judas, because you all know that. But that's just kind of, I guess, it shows you how far, and it shows you how far you can go, and you can really hit rock bottom, and that's what happens with Judas as we see here. And again, he was there with the other apostles. He heard of the parables that were taught. He traveled with him. You know, he was there, as we'll see here in just a second, with Lazarus and Mary and Martha. I mean, he saw everything they did. But yet there was something different about him. Something allowed him to, something overtook him or got his mind or focus off Jesus as a Savior. something that, because you know, you ever see people and you'll wonder, say, well, they were brought up in church, or maybe their father was a pastor. How could they have not heard, or an evangelist? How could they have not heard the you know, preaching of the Word of God? You know, you've heard that said before, because maybe some young man, some woman, or older man or older woman, you know, they get in trouble, or they get in have problems in their life, or do something that just surprises you, and you wonder, so how did they get on that path? How did they take that direction? And it makes you think about Judas too. We know he's from southern Judea. Know his dad was Simon. We know he knew the other apostles, or at least some of them. So what made his path different? So Jesus knows what is in a man. He knows what's in her heart. Those other disciples there that walked away, Christ knew they'd walk away. People that come in today, I know Brother John mentioned, we need to be praying for the ones that's raised their hands that have been lost here on Sundays. And Jesus knew the ones that would raise their hands. He knew the ones that would come forward and seek him as their Savior, but he also knew who'd go out the door. And so you think about that, as how Jesus, in depth of what he knows. And here, let me move on. There's no surprises. All right, let's move on here. If you look at verse number 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? See, you know, Simon Peter speaks up, I think because he'd been hanging around Thomas probably. Of course, our lesson from last week. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. See, Simon Peter's approach, or his thought, was to follow Christ. He knew he was the Savior. Now again, he's about like a lot of us, or at least me. You know, he had his times where he, of course, when he's on the cross, you know, he denies him and tends to, shy away. Even though he follows at a distance, he doesn't want to be associated with him, but he wants to see what's going on. You know, you think about that being us in all of our lives. And saying, we believe and assure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. So see, if you were just looking at that and you thinking about from Simon Peter and the other apostles, you would have thought that had been one of the disciples that would have walked away, one of the group that was following, one of the many men and women that probably followed him wherever he went. But he was speaking of one of their own. See, he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. And actually, if you go back and read, and go over and read Matthew, a lot of the dealings had already been done. He already knew he was going to betray him. And how would Christ have known? You say, well, the Word became flesh. In other words, he was God. He was the God-man. And we've heard that before and heard that mentioned. And Christ knew who Judas was. He knew Peter's heart as well. Of course, Peter stood on the day of Pentecost and preached. Of course, he knew what was in Thomas's heart. We saw that last week. And I guess that's really been, I don't like to say theme, but the last Sunday and this Sunday is, again, he knows what's in her heart. And as we look, the reason why is Christ is the Word. You think about that. He is. So he knows the beginning, from the beginning to the end. And so as we look here, we'll go on through and we'll look in John. Says Judas's unbelief was not a whole lot different, again, than the disciples who left and who walked away, except Judas, again, was evil. Lack of a better way to describe it. The other disciples that left and walked away, the group that did, as you read there, see that not told how many, but it had to be several. As several, I don't know if you think however many was following. Some left because of things that Jesus had said, and they moved away not to return again. If you think about that, at least they were showing to others as well who they really were. Judas didn't do that. So to me, that shows, again, he wasn't who you thought he was, so to speak, I guess. Like I said, I apologize. I've gotten tied up in Judas this morning, more so than I'd meant to, but there might be a reason for that. I don't know. Like I said, I'd read that to get the background just because I wanted to know more about him. But as you move on, we'll go on over to John 8, if you would. And we won't be before you much longer because I've told you all about Judas, I think, and I wanted to spend our time looking more at how greed came into his life. But if you go over to John 8, and let's go over to about number, I think it's 45, 46. Let's go to about number 44. He said, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it." And you say, well, what's Jesus talking about here? As we go back up and look, and you'll see, verse number 39, "So they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus saith unto them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the work of Abraham." He's talking about Abraham's true descendants. But when he's looking there, he's talking with the Jews, but he's talking in a spiritual manner, and they're talking more just physically, who they can relate their heritage to. "But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then say they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." Of course, that's when Jesus said unto them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me." And of course, we know that dealing with the Pharisees and the Jews, right here in these cases, and as what Judas Iscariot knew, they'd sought to kill him. Of course, the Jews had. Judas knew that. Judas stuck with the other 12, or with the other 11, to make it 12, long enough to, the deed was done for 30 pieces of silver. So even though he didn't believe, he still was undercover, so to speak, for these Jews or the Pharisees to try to entrap Jesus. So even though he'd heard these things, and as Jesus answers these accusations here, what we see, and of course he calls them, their father's the devil, and the lust of your father will do. He calls them murderers, etc. Judas falls more into that group than he does with the apostles. But what I wanted to get to was that Jesus still had an unconditional love for Judas. And think about how deep that love was. That's why I think the other disciples or apostles were deceived by Judas as well. It's because Jesus loved Judas Iscariot the same as he did the others. He loved his soul as well. He came to die on the cross for him as well. Let's look at, John 13, if you would. John chapter 13 it is, yeah. So, because look at this here, and I'll be getting finished up here before long. We'll be through early today. But as we look here, Jesus already knew, as he washes the disciples' feet. You look at chapter 13, verse number 2. "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God." So look here at what we see here. I was going to try to see for the sake of time. Verse number 6. "Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." So here's a conversation with Peter. "Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not to save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him." See, that goes back to, again, Judas. "For he knew who would betray. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean." So he's telling them that again. "So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you?" So So after he had washed their feet, the way I read that, he washed all their feet. So the way I look at all their feet, I threw an S in there. Miss Eva, get me down rather than Pastor Rick. But as we look at that and you see that, I think that's the reason why we look at, Judas's life. Jesus answered, and I'm not going to get you to turn, but because this always puzzled me until now as I've studied this out, and this has been for years. Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it." Now, I'm reading over just in verse number 26, that's chapter 13. I always read that as saying, why didn't the other apostles know then when that happened that Judas was going to be the one to betray him? In other words, why wouldn't the other 11 have known? And in studying more about Judas and just kind of how, like I said, the devil, of course, we say all the time, you know, the devil get the, he doesn't mind somebody sharing 99% of the truth. He just doesn't want the whole 100% of the truth to be told. That's kind of how you get young people or, again, middle-aged or older people tied up into situations or in greed or lustful things of the world or whatever it may be. The devil never tells the full story, just like with Judas. I'm sure when they gave him those 30 pieces of silver, he was on cloud nine. But after he realized what he'd done, so to speak, he wanted to go give that money back. Of course, if you go read that account, you'll find out that the Pharisees and Jews there, they put all the onus on Judas Iscariot. They blamed him for it all. In other words, tried to lay it all on his shoulders. And of course, he ended up hanging himself. But as you look, the devil never, I'm sure, presented that way to Judas Iscariot in the beginning. What Judas saw was a good way to make money. Jesus is going to be killed anyway because Jews are seeking to kill him. Why should I hang around with these others? You know, I'll just sell him my part or sell him out. I'll make some money and I'll go on my way. Of course, it didn't go that way for him. That's how sin is. But as I was pointing out, Jesus still loved Judas the same. But here you see, well, if he did, then how would the other 11 known exactly who he was? And I didn't realize this. To whoever you give the sop to, after you've dipped it, like let's say the host, the first one they give it to is usually a person of honor. In other words, an honored guest. Someone who, that's why you're there for, or maybe you got together to meet, or that's why the men gathered, so to speak. So when he gave that to him, the other apostles just could have considered, well, that's a special person, or that's an honor to give that to Judas first. Maybe he does that because, you know, he's the keeper of the treasury or whatever. Maybe he had done something the others didn't know about. So when he gave a sop, when I had dipped it, and when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. So to me, I'd always wondered, so well, why wouldn't the others have known that? And after the sop, Satan entered into him. See, that's another, Christ already knew that. Then said Jesus unto him, "That thou doest, do quickly." Well, there's another part there, another section, where I would think, well, didn't they realize who Judas really was at that time? Didn't they realize that he was just full of greed, and in this case it was for money, the silver? Didn't they realize that? They'd given him the sop. Jesus said, whoever I give it to, that's who's going to betray me. And then he tells him there, said, whatever, you know, that thou doest, do quickly. Now, no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. So we're told in the Scripture, they didn't know the reason why they'd said that. So it didn't seem like it ever entered into their mind that Judas was going to be the one to betray him, even though he'd already said somebody would. And as we see over here, as he washed their feet, and he tells them what he's done, he says, ye are not all clean. And he's talking about the whole body, not just feet. He's talking about spiritually. He's talking about their heart. And he said, ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. For if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the Scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. And if you notice there said, have chosen, I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen. In other words, he knew their hearts. But as we see there as well, the others did not know that. Verse number 29, for some of them thought because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. And we knew Satan had already entered into him. So as you look there, and as we see, Christ knew who Judas was. He looked deep inside his... It's the opposite of last week. If you were here last week, we talked about Thomas. And we talked about old doubting Thomas. Glass half empty, glass half full. But Thomas was put in situations, and Christ knew that Thomas' true character was revealed. I think he did the same thing with Judas. He was in situations Christ knew where his true character was revealed. So even here, he'd seen the parables, seen the miracles, heard the preaching, seen the masses follow, gives him sop straight from the Savior's own hand. He'd washed his feet, and he still went out to betray him. I think that's, of course, the deed was done. He still went out the door, still went his way, so to speak. Now, there's one place in Scripture you can go back, and I think Jesus, and we'll be done, Jesus knew, he already knew who Judas was, but I think it kind of stands out as really the only place you could look to see that Judas didn't take thought for it either. In other words, Satan had so deceived him that his mind was only on one thing. And if I can find that, it's a part when Judas was, you can really tell he was a deceiver, deceitful. You can really see that he was a thief. Let me find that and we'll be done. Now that comes back to mind and we'll be finished this morning. Judas, let's go to John. I think it's over in 12. It is. Judas chapter 12. I mentioned these folks earlier, and we'll look at Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, and we'll be done. I didn't plan on doing that, but I think it's something that we can see. It kind of gives us a little insight earlier into Judas's motives. And much like Thomas's motives were, he wanted to see Christ and know for himself and feel the nail scars in his hands and stick his hand into his side. Judas had another motive. And still, you think about Judas as well. He just blended in, kind of like a chameleon, he changed his spots or colors or whatever he needed to. You know, that's what the animals do to blend in. They're more green or they look like they got spots, I guess, in a field. You watch those leopards sometimes over there, now look like with the spots on their bodies, you think another animal could see them easily, but you get them in that grassy field, I guess, and they look like they just blend right in. And well, it's kind of like a deer you see going down the road. You really got to look sometimes to see them unless they're right in front of you. They just blend in, I guess. And that's kind of how Judas did. So we'll read this little account here, and I think it'll really show Judas's true intent, which Jesus already knew, but the other apostles did not. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. Of course, remember, Judas was with him there as well. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son. And there's, you read about Judas all day long, but that's mentioned quite often. And I think the reason why it separates Judas out from the other Judases that might be mentioned in the Bible. In other words, you wouldn't want to be associated with Iscariot. You know, that's kind of like, Samuel Mudd, that came out. What's his name? Samuel Mudd, the one that doctored, I guess, Booth. And, that's where the saying came from. His name is Mud. Nobody wanted to be associated. People even changed their name after that from the Mud family to something else, M-U-D-D, to something else, because they didn't want to be associated with the man who doctored Booth, who killed or assassinated Lincoln. I think that's why you see some things in Scripture, same way with Judas Iscariot, it always points out Simon's son. In other words, make sure there's a distinction between him and the other Judases. which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and he had the bag and bear that was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. And you notice John recorded that, but because he was a thief. So we find that early on, that Judas already would take time to get his hand in the money bag, so to speak. You know, maybe skim a little bit off the top that was given. And anyway, that's what I've got this morning, and Judas. And like I said, I won't continue any more on Judas. I should have said Life and Times of Judas Iscariot this morning. I've spent more time on him than actually wanting us to look at examining ourselves and our lives. Don't let greed get the best of us or temptation of anything. And when I say greed, you can always think money, but any worldly possessions, anything in the world that turns your eyes or focus away from our Heavenly Father, keeps you out of the Scripture in the mornings or late in the day or midday, or keeps you out of prayer. That was an intent this morning, I thought, from the lesson and what the Lord had given me, but it seems like I got here and it might have been for someone's benefit. I know it was for mine in studying it, but just to see what type of person could stay hidden, but yet not be hidden, so to speak. You know, Judas Iscariot was out in the open with all the other apostles. He was the one that betrayed him, but yet he still went right along with them. And his other disciples left, not that they betrayed him, but they would no longer follow him. Judas wasn't following him either, but he didn't do what was natural. He stayed. He didn't leave. And so, and that's what, you know, I think about natural man. Sometimes we say, well, we won't stop over here or over there, or they're always visiting the nightclubs, or they're at the bars all the time. Well, they're just doing what's natural. They still need God. They still need to hear the gospel. I know Brother Wayne going to the jails. That makes me think, if you took that approach, you wouldn't ever stop at the jails. You wouldn't ever go in and try to share the gospel with them, because you'd say, well, they're in jail. Well, they might have stole, let's say that's what they're there for, but maybe they was just doing natural man, you know. Maybe they just thought they needed that car. I mean, I don't know. You know, because they're not saved in a lot of cases. They don't know God. You know, we say right from wrong. That's right. There's some right from wrong in our laws that we do. And we know our laws are based on that. But there's also spiritually in us, we know sometimes what's not sometimes, but we know the Holy Spirit, you know, what's right and what's wrong. I know sometimes we make statements, or maybe we say something even as Christians, you know, wish we could take back, or you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, or maybe we said something that was incorrect and want to correct that. And we say, oh, they might think we're trying to deceive them. We didn't know, because we didn't have all the information at the time. I mean, things come to our minds as Christians sometimes that maybe would not if we weren't saved, to try to keep things straight. What did Pastor say? Was it last Sunday or Sunday before? Said that, you know, if anything was trouble in the church or any problems, he's going to run straight at it, not run around it. But he's going to run straight at it and get it settled. And as Christians, I think that's what we need to try to do. And that even includes problem areas of our life we may have, things we may get caught up in. And much like Judas, you know, he was only human. But he got seeing those silver coins and betrayed our Savior. All right, that's all we've got this morning.